Beautiful. Thank you for sharing with us. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, and while you're turning there, let me just catch you up on a couple of things as we kind of adjust to our new time. We're going to be, as you can imagine, we'll be tightening our services up a little bit, and we have promised you since the beginning that since we're moving to a slightly later start time, that we would certainly honor the time that we have together. So we will promptly be concluding at 12:15, and in order for that to happen, one of the things that we'll begin to adopt and kind of, and some things will be experimental until we kind of get it right and we're all agreed this is the right thing for us. At the end of the messages, rather than doing, as we often do, a traditional kind of invitation, we'll have a prayer, we'll sing together. And for those who would like prayer, for those who would like to talk about having a relationship with Christ, we're going to direct you, or you can just come with me, to the prayer room. And we'll have the time that you need and be able to pray about, pray for anything that you would like to have prayer for. Any relationship decision that you make or whatever is on your heart, I will be there as the weeks go on. Other parts, members of our leadership team will be totally and fully available to do that. So we do have a prayer room now right outside these double doors across the hall. So just let us know at the end of the service if you would like to have prayer. Today I'm going to begin a series just called Choose Joy. One of the books of the New Testament, the book of Philippians, very short book, has as its primary and prevailing theme choosing joy in Christ. And as Paul is writing this letter, he himself is in prison and he is facing a lot of circumstances in his own life. His health is probably failing. There's some opposition in the church that he's writing the letter to. There's pressure. All of these things are happening as they happen in any church. And Paul is responding to that. And if you could take everything that Paul is saying to this particular church family, it would come down to simply this message: as people in Christ, choose joy. So today, we're just going to get started and be reading the first couple of verses, Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to this letter, we come to this text, and we recognize and confess that these are not just words to a first century church, these are words to a 21st century church as well. That is possible because of the presence of your Holy Spirit. That is possible because the author of these words is still living, and just as he spoke then, so now does he speak. So, Father, we come to them, and we open our hearts, and it is our prayer that as we step into the text of Philippians for the upcoming weeks, that from whichever way we are coming, as we stand there, we will hear the theme over and over again, choose joy. So, Father, as we begin today, may your Spirit speak to us. And may we begin in even greater ways in our own life the path, or continue the path, of taking every step by choosing joy for Christ's sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Paul was a man who, if anybody, could have got to the end of his life and said, you know, this is a pretty rough deal. God called me. I was doing okay. I was a very religious person. I was just doing what God wanted me to do, or I felt like God had called me to do. And I was actually persecuting Christians because I really thought that they were some kind of offense to God. And I was trying to squelch the movement. And God broke in, and there was an intervention. And then I met Jesus Christ. And then I felt like God was calling me to live a life of traveling around to various churches and proclaiming the gospel and making disciples and sharing with them the story of Jesus. And as I did, there were always seemed to be mixed reactions as to how people would respond. There were people who would embrace the message of Christ. There were people who were very much opposed to the message of Christ. There were some people who had extreme hospitality, and they invited me in. And they would allow me to come and stay in their homes. And there were people who, when I began to speak or when I shared with them what Christ had done and what he's about and the offer of God in grace, actually sought to stone me, to run me out of town. And so Paul could certainly get to the end of his ministry and say, this is a really tough thing to have to do. It should have been easier. It should not have been so difficult. It should not have been such a heartache at times. Life should have been easier. After all, Jesus has risen from the dead. After all, he has defeated death. After all, the power of sin is broken. After all, he's coming back for us again. After all, he's given us the Spirit. Shouldn't it be easier to get through the life of just living in Christ? But Paul's life was a life in which sometimes embraced, sometimes rejected, sometimes loved. Sometimes people wish they could just crucify him like they did Christ. And sometimes cities would say, come and tell us the truth. And other times, once the truth got out in the streets, the city leaders would show up and throw him in jail. And when all of that is said and done, towards the end of his life, as he is sitting in a jail cell as he is now, presumably in Rome, awaiting a trial that will ultimately lead to his death, Paul rips out this little letter called Philippians. And he doesn't complain about how tough his ministry had been. He doesn't do the woe is me and I've been offended and this is so hard and all of that. He pours out a very simple truth that he has discovered in life, that when you choose joy, it does not matter how your life circumstances come to you. Everything else just seems to dissolve when you choose joy. And you would think, well, this would be a fairly simple thing to do. Choosing joy is not really a major thing. This is the profound part of it. Choosing joy is not an exceptionally profound thing. This is not something that only a philosopher would get, or somebody in the academic world would get, or somebody who's been a Christian forever would get. Choosing joy is the choice that we all have the opportunity to make, and it is that choice that defines us in the city. So when Paul opens this letter, he simply says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, but when he writes to the people in the church of Philippi, did you notice he did not call them servants or bond slaves, whatever your translation has? Look at the word he used for them. What is that word? What did he call them? He called them saints. Now, shouldn't it be the reverse? I'm just wondering, am I thinking this or am I thinking wrong? Isn't Paul the saint in all of this? Isn't Paul the one that even to this day, when we think about him, in many of our traditions, do we not sometimes say the Apostle Paul or Saint Paul? Do you not think of Paul as a saint? Look what he did right from the very beginning. He already has joy on the mind. He already knows how joy works, and this is how it begins to work. When you are with brothers and sisters, when you are in the context of the people who are following Jesus, notice that when Paul is doing the writing, and he knows quite well that if he could get up out of that jail cell and he could go to Philippi, to that city, that that church would embrace him, because after all, he was part of that church and part of the founding of that church. They would embrace him, and they would love to see him, and they would love to know that he is doing well. But when he refers to himself, even in that context, he says, this is just a reminder, I am the servant, and you are the saints. I am the bond slave, and you are the saints, when we all kind of flip it all around, because we're thinking, I thought Paul was the saint. I thought Paul was the one who had this incredible encounter and who chose the path of joy and who lived like a saint. Here's the beauty of choosing joy. The first step in choosing joy is the recognition of our role, your role, when you are in the context of God's people, and when you think about yourself, what God is doing in your life, what God is calling you to do, how God is moving in your life. Here's the first thing you can do to move towards a life of joy. When you think about yourself, to do exactly what Paul did, and think about yourself as a what? As a servant, as a bondslave of Jesus Christ. That's the first step towards moving toward a lifetime of choosing joy in everything you do. And Paul got it right. He said, you know, I could really just give out a litany of all the things that I'm grieved about. He had a lot to, I mean, who doesn't? I could write books about the stuff that I'm grieved about that has happened along life's way, that happens in ministry. But Paul has a different vision for this. Paul says to all of us, he says, Brian, I know. I can almost hear God saying, Brian, I know that if you wanted to just, you know, rip out everything, if you just wanted to get into people's lives, if you just wanted to say how hard it was and all the stuff that's happened to you, you could just talk forever about that kind of stuff. And it's almost as if God says to me, Brian, I tell you what, let's just stop right here and now, and I'm going to invite you to make a choice that will change your life. I'm going to invite you to choose joy over your life's hardships. I'm going to invite you to choose joy over the anxieties you have. I'm going to invite you to choose joy about all the experiences you have that may not have looked very joyful as you've engaged in ministry or pastoring or preaching or just being a disciple of Christ in whatever context I am. God's first word to me is the first word that Paul discovered, and that is that as a follower of Jesus Christ, when I recognize that I am the servant in the deal, that I am the bond servant, then I have opened the door to a lifetime of joy. You see how that works? There's no mistake that when Paul started a letter, I mean, every word counts for Paul. He's not wasting words and trying to get a greeting off. He is filling these words with an incredible theological and practical truth that you have to choose joy. Now, this is why you have to choose joy. If you don't choose it, it won't come. All right, is that right? If you don't choose it, it won't come. Joy does not force itself on you. That is why, over and over again, that is why throughout this particular epistle, the word of God is, the command is going to be, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, things might be going exceptionally well for you right now, or things might be at the worst possible place you've ever experienced in your life. If you can set all of that aside for the moment, you can start exactly where Paul starts and says, and you could say, this is where I am today. This is not the best day in my life. This is not the best season in my life. These are not the best times I've ever experienced. I mean, you know, my job is, I'm not sure what's going on with my job. I'm not sure if there's a future with that. My neighbors were kind of into it. You know, it's just, I just feel heavy. I just feel like, you know, I've wasted years in my life. I just feel the darkness. I just feel something like I'm not connecting with God. I'm not connecting with God's people. If you could put all of that aside, if that's where you are, and we're all there from time to time, if that's where you are, you could take the next first step into a life of joy, and you do it by choosing it. You do it by making that choice. And when you do, a most beautiful thing happens. It does not matter what is happening in your job. It does not matter so much what your economic or financial situation is at the moment. The moment that you choose the path of joy, you are set on a path that changes your life forever, and that is the invitation of Philippians. And so when Paul talks about himself, he's already taking the first steps of joy. I am a servant. I am a slave. I'm not going to hold myself up and above anybody else. I am a servant of the churches I go to. I am a servant of the people that I serve. And once we get that, and your self-reflection and your self-assessment is, I am here to serve. I am here to be a servant among the people. And you see everybody else as a saint, you are on the path to joy. Isn't that incredible? Just begin that way. In your mind, you say, I am the servant, I am the slave, and you are the saints. And once you get that right, you can move forward to experiencing the joy that God wants you to experience. Now, I was born and raised here in Hampton, of all things. And I know where the ball fields are, I know where the restaurants are, I know where the historic places are. I kind of know something of the history of Hampton. I kind of know the vibe and feel, and I like that. It's the air that I breathed when I was a kid, and being able to come back is amazing. Here's the thing about where we can take this as an application. Paul is writing to a city that is very much like Hampton. Philippi is a military city in northern Greece. It's near the water. Some people called it Little Rome because people and military from Rome would often travel through Philippi because it was located kind of a connector city in the continent. It could connect parts of Europe. It could connect Europe to Asia. And so there was a famous road that led through the city of Philippi. And people from all over the world would travel that road. And Philippi was the kind of place where all different kinds of languages would have been spoken, where you would meet people from different cultures, where you would see different things, very much like a military community is in our part of the world, in Hampton. And Paul knew that that was part of the church family or part of the city of Philippi. And the city was actually named after King Philip, who 400 years, which, by the way, is about the age of the city of Hampton itself. When King Philip came through, he wanted a city named after him, so they ended up naming it Philippi. And in case you don't know who King Philip is, he is the father of Alexander the Great. So he kind of moves up there pretty good. He is the father of Alexander the Great, and the city of Philippi is named after him to honor him and to always be a place that would be a reminder to whoever lives within its borders, this is really Roman ground. We know on a map it's in Greece. We know that it is, but this is really Roman ground. This is Roman soil. And so Paul knows all of that. And Paul is bearing witness of the gospel in this city that has a very high Roman flavor to it. And Paul is saying to this church, Paul is saying to the people in this city, I know you get to hear stuff from all over the world. I know you get to see all the gods and goddesses who come through. I know that you hear all of the philosophies. I know you get to see all of the cultures. I know that you get to hear it. But here's the good news for you. There is one Christ, there is one Lord, and no matter whether you're Jew or Greek or Gentile, no matter what language you speak, whether you're poor, whether you're wealthy, whatever your job is, whatever your family situation is, Paul wants them to know that they can have a reputation of being the church that is filled with the joy of the Lord. And this is what Paul knows, that if a church gets it, that being filled with the joy of the Lord changes a city. He realizes that if he can get one city, one church in one city to do that, that the entire city would be changed. And if a city like Little Rome, like Philippi, can be changed, how far do you think that change would ultimately go over a map? Just take a guess. It's worldwide change. You say, no, you can't do worldwide change by something as simple as choosing joy. Well, let's beg your pardon for a minute. Because we think in church life, in Western world church, we think we have to have amazing programs. We think we have to have multi-million dollar kinds of things happening, and then people will get interested in Christ. You know what? That's not the case. Do you know why most people who don't know Christ get interested in Christ? Because when they look at people who do know Christ, if they can see in them that no matter what happens to them throughout life, that they are experiencing what? They're wondering, where did that come from? They're wondering, where did they find this source of joy? Because the same kinds of things happen to them that are happening to me. I mean, these people are under it too, and they look at you, and they watch your life. And if they see this one thing, if they can see that joy is your choice, they are going to be interested in wondering, how did you find that? Where did you find that? Is there a pill for this? Is there something that you're drinking? Is there something you're eating? What is going on so that you can experience joy? Now, let's just take this a little bit further, because Paul is writing to a church in Philippi, and he didn't say to the churches in Philippi, he said to the saints. So if you could get this right, whoever gets it right first, I'll buy you a steak dinner, all right? So are you ready? So now you're interested, okay? So how many churches were there in Philippi? Or I'll give you a double chance, because some of you, like me, have roots in Hampton, and if you get within 10, the steak dinner goes down. Are you ready? How many churches are there in Hampton? Let's do it that way. And you just take your best guess, and if you're in there, I'll let you know. Who said, I heard what? 230? 225? No. Who said 300? Margaret, no. I hear 100? 400? Where are we? Who are these people? Yeah. I'll give you an extra 3 seconds because I really do want you to get a steak dinner. 1,500. All right, since we're on the clock, I'm just going to have to tell you. Who said that? Who said one? Whoever said one. Was that you, Brian? Whoever said one got it. There is one church in Hampton, Virginia. Are you good with that? There is one church, and it is made up of the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God looks down on this place in this city, now, I know because of logistics and styles, we all get that. But from God's perspective, he's got one people in this city, just like he had one people in Philippi, just like he had one people in the city of Corinth, just like he had one people in the city of Ephesus, just like he always has one people in every city. There is one people who make up the saints who are the people of Jesus Christ in the city. Obviously, we could expand that out and just say, how about the peninsula or how about Tidewater? You get the idea. When Paul wrote letters, he wrote them as if, because it is the truth, as if there were only one church in the city. Now, let's just put all this together and try to wrap it all up. If there's one church in the city, and everybody in that church discovered what joy in Jesus looks like, what do you think the evangelism strategy of the church is in the city? If every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ get it in our minds and our hearts, although we might be scattered about different places and rhythms and styles and music and preachers, we got all, okay, that's fine. If you can put all of that just to the side a little bit and recognize this one simple truth, that from God's perspective, we are the saints of Hampton, Virginia. We are the saints in the city, and that in this letter, Paul is wondering, I think he's wondering to himself as he sits in the jail cell, what would happen in a city if I could convince all of the saints to live in joy? How would that change the city? Wouldn't that be cool? If everybody who knows you, even if they have just met you in a brief encounter, if everybody who knows you were asked to tell us 3 things about you, and one of them was joy, imagine how powerful and how beautiful your life is for Christ's sake. If you go from here and you go out to eat and whoever waits on you thinks to themselves, wow, that was part of the Sunday crowd, and what I saw in them was joy, you could change a waiter's life or a waitress's life. If you go to work in the morning and work has become humdrum and it's become routine to you and it's lost its fun and its excitement, if you could decide right now, if this is what applies to you, if you could decide right here and right now that when you wake up tomorrow morning, whatever it is you're doing, whether you're staying home, going to work, wherever you go, if you could decide that your first step is a step into joy, you are beginning to change the world. That is what Paul is doing. And just the opening verses of Philippians, he's asking a church family. He says, I know you guys, I know you get caught in all of the cross currents of life. I know, because Paul had been there. As a matter of fact, when Paul was there, they didn't even have enough, in their day, they had to have enough men, just 10, to start a synagogue. When he went there the first time, they didn't even have enough men in the city to start a synagogue. Do you know how the church started? Because a few of the women went out about a mile outside of the city, and they met at a river to worship, and that's where Paul found them. And now he's writing back to a church, and he says, I tell you what, let me tell you the story of joy, because if Philippi chooses joy, the world gets changed. And, I mean, look at how simple this application is. If the saints of Hampton, Virginia choose joy, the world gets changed. You know how much it costs you to do that, by the way? Because I'm very conscious of our budget. In case you think I'm trying to spend your money, guess what? This costs you not a dime. Now, I know you want to rise up and say, Brian, you're brilliant, but just refrain for the moment. This costs you not a dime to choose joy and to change our city. And every time you meet a brother and sister who is in Christ, rather than thinking, first of all, you go to this church, y'all do that. Think about it this way. Every time you encounter a brother and sister in Christ, think to yourself, I am a slave, I am a servant of Christ, and you are the saint. I am the servant, and you are the saint. And when the saints and servants of Hampton, Virginia share in a common vision like that, Hampton, Virginia will not be the same. It's changed. Newport News will not be the same. York County will not be the same. Pocosin will not be the same. You get it, right? Choose joy. I want to ask you, if you would, please, to stand with me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for just the opening words to this book of Philippians, a book that already sets us up to make choices of joy when, and oftentimes that just seems so counterintuitive. Sometimes it just seems like that would be the choice, that would be the last choice we could possibly make. Sometimes we're just in places of life where choosing joy seems a million miles away. Father, let us just open up our hearts to your Spirit. Let us open our hearts to a guy who sits in a prison cell, a guy who has been embraced and beaten, a guy who has been heard and stoned nearly to death, but a guy who has embraced the gospel from the day that you intervened in his life, and a guy that no matter what has happened along life's way, and even as he waits for some Roman officer to come in and let him know the date of his execution, he's chosen joy. So, Father, let us follow him. Let us follow his example. And may we, the people of this church family, set the pace. May we, the people of this church family, be some of the first to step out and say, regardless of the story that we share together, we choose joy. And as we encounter brothers and sisters throughout our city and beyond, may we think first to ourselves, we are the servants and they are the saints. And together may our hearts come together in celebrations and in stories of choosing joy in all that we do for Christ's sake, in whose name we pray. Now, today, I had not intended for us to have response time because I wanted us to be right on the clock. And this is where music people probably get frustrated with me. We're going to have a moment that, since it's 12:02, we'll take 3 or 4 minutes. We'll sing whatever we'll sing. And I'm just going to invite you to come. And if choosing joy is a choice you want to make right now, and you want to affirm that and nail it down, I'm just going to invite you to come. You can stand, kneel. I'd be happy to pray with you, however you want to do it. So as we sing, you got a song that we can sing
the
this
to? The Joy of the Lord.
All right, The Joy of the Lord. Couldn't be perfect. If you'd like to come right now, I invite you to come. Let's sing together.